What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlaiWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlaiWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlaiWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros break out the Bruins in the Bronx.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's got him! Touchdown! Breece Hall!
Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long. Coming up, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Patriots linebacker Matthew Judon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your phone calls. We love it when you want to chat with us, whether you're watching us on the Roku channel for free on channel 210 on every Roku device there is, or Samsung Smart TVs, or Amazon Fire TVs, or on the Roku app, or on the RokuChannel.com. We greatly appreciate you listening to us on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Affiliate Group Coast to Coast. We also love you listening to us on Odyssey or Sirius Channel 218 XM, and also the app as well. We appreciate all of you listening in to us and our Cumulus Podcast Network. Podcast 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Matt Judon will be on the show in hour number three. I will be at the studio, in the studio chair for the pregame and halftime of Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football tonight between the Bears and Patriots in New England. Lots to talk about, as always, here on a busy Monday. And one of our favorites is back here on the program, and he is on Peacock every single day before Dan Patrick's show. And he is also the founder of Pro Football Talk. His book, Game Changers, is still a great read. Go get it where all books are sold. Mike Florio, back here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, Mike Florio?
Rich, doing great, pal. Great to talk to you again.
You got it. Right back at you. Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Which one is wondering, why did I re-sign here? Which one is wondering that?
I think we can say both. I think they both have to be asking themselves, what have I done? For different reasons. For Rodgers, look, I think the problem in Green Bay happened late last year when they knew Davante Adams was about to be a free agent, and they didn't put an offer on the table that he couldn't and wouldn't refuse. They let the process get too close to the end. They gave him too much of an opportunity to decide he wanted to leave and go play for the Raiders, and it was too late to do anything about it. When they signed him to his initial extension, at some point late in his fourth NFL season, they did it before he could get a taste of what it would mean to play elsewhere. I think they should have done everything they can to keep him around, because this offense can't function the way it needs to without a presence who commands extra attention, who Rodgers trusts completely. And he hasn't put in the time. Rodgers hasn't put in the time. Tony Dungy told a great story last night on a video that we did after halftime of the Steelers-Dolphins game. And it just shows you what Aaron Rodgers isn't doing to get this new receiving core sufficiently comfortable and to a point where he can trust them. Dungy said that when there was overhaul with the Colts receiver room, the year that they made Anthony Gonzalez a first-round draft pick, Peyton Manning got in his car and drove from Indianapolis to Columbus every weekend to throw with Anthony Gonzalez. I mean, Rodgers didn't show up for the offseason program other than the mandatory minicamp. He didn't gather with his new receivers. He just showed up at training camp and expected it all to work, and it's not working. So I think Rodgers, because of that, the football reason. Brady, obviously, all the personal turmoil, and should he have just stayed retired? Was he trying to get to Miami, whatever the case may be? But I think both guys are regretting it. I think it's amazing, Rich, this week we get to see both of them in primetime. We'll see Brady Thursday night. We'll see Rodgers Sunday night. We'll really get an idea of whether and to what extent they've fallen off.
Well, I mean, Brady's at home against the Ravens, and Rodgers is in Western New York against the Bills coming off a bye week. And even he said after yesterday's game that they, you know, he kind of used the answer when he was asked, can you guys go on a run? Do you still have the team that can go on a run? He gave the Jack Nicholson answer when asked if he pulled the code red in A Few Good Men. He said, you're GD right, we can, you know. And
see, I thought that was more Heisenberg.
It right? could have been that. I don't know why I went Colonel Jessup.
I went straight to Heisenberg. There's that gif of when he was asked, are you Heisenberg?
Yeah.
You're GD right.
Yeah, that's right. So is he Heisenberg is the question, you know? I mean,
well, he is selling ayahuasca in Albuquerque, so, you know.
Oh my gosh, you know, but at least Brady has a piece of the division. You know, Brady has a piece of the division. I'm wondering if Gronk is even sitting here right now saying, you know, I might have taken the call, but if they've dropped to 3-5, and then after that game, if they lose, Tampa has a home date with the Rams before I get a chance to call their game in Germany with the rest of my NFL Network crew against Seattle. This is, I look at the rest of the division, I don't see who can win games to overtake them. I just don't see it.
That's the reality. All of the teams are under 500 right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, if they beat the Falcons this weekend, will be 3-0 in the division, 0-5 out of the division. This is like the NFC East of a couple of years ago, where they all sink to the bottom, and somebody's going to win it, and somebody's going to host a playoff game. And, you know, the thing about both Rodgers and Brady, number one, they're not done. There's a long way to go. And at some point, they can figure it out between now and the end of the regular season. And also, they can be very dangerous if they get into the playoffs and have to go on the road. The Bucs did that 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. They went on the road three times, won three games, and off they went. Now, again, they may win the division, so they wouldn't have to go on the road all three times. And the one time Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, Rich, 2010, on the road, all three games, and then won the Super Bowl. I think, and Sims and I have been talking about this on PFT Live, Chris Sims, not Phil, I've been thinking that the Packers, when they're the one seed, they seize up in one of those playoff games. They got too much to lose. The expectations are too high. You go into the playoffs, skinnier teeth, 7 seed, 6 seed, different vibe. Nothing to lose. Let's go take our chances and air it out. And I think that's the mindset Rodgers needs in the postseason to be as successful as he needs to be, not worrying about, well, we've gotten this far, we've made ourselves the one seed, and we're going to squander it in 3 hours on a Saturday night at home against the 49ers. So they're not done. And wouldn't it be a great setup if they get us to write them off and they both end up standing tall when the postseason rolls around?
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show, co-host of PFT Live and also the founder of Pro Football Talk right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How is the trade deadline shaping up? It's a week from Tuesday. And obviously Green Bay would love a receiver. Obviously Tampa would love a receiver. Odell Beckham looms out there as a potential saving grace for somebody who needs some help at that position. What are you hearing ear to the ground on this front right now?
And here's the key, Rich. And this is one of those, I mean, I've been doing this over 20 years now, and different weeks, different months, different points of the schedule bring back the same talking points. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, it's important to remember it doesn't close until after week 8. And things can change dramatically for teams as we even get to week 8. A team that wins week 8 has a different vibe, a different feel, a different overall attitude than the team that loses week 8, whether it's a contender that wins or loses or a potential fire sale candidate that wins or loses. Who's really out of it right now? We thought the Panthers were. They moved Christian McCaffrey. Well, they're not really out of it. The Broncos, I'm told if they lose to the Jaguars in London this weekend in a battle of 2-5 teams, Bradley Chubb is likely to be gone by Tuesday. He's in the last year of his contract, just like Von Miller last year. Let's just move on, get something now. But if they beat the Jaguars, then things change. There's a huge difference. you know, even though teams are fairly bunched together, for a lot of these games, like 3-4 versus 2-5, that's a huge difference. 3-5 versus 2-6, huge difference. And so we really won't know buyers, sellers until we get there. Now, obviously, the McCaffrey deal's already happened, but as we get through this week, you know, yeah, I mean, from the Packers' standpoint, if they get blown off the field by the Bills, does it really matter to them to give up future assets to go get a receiver, or do they become a team that potentially starts looking for guys they can trade off? Imagine that. The Packers is sellers at the trade deadline, but if they lose in like a statement game, changing the guard type of 45-3 outcome on Sunday night, who knows what their mindset is Monday and then up until 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday.
I don't know. For Green Bay, if they trade people away because they get blown out with a visit to Detroit right after that, I don't know if there's enough ayahuasca in the world for Aaron Rodgers to not storm the front office to say what the hell's happening, you know, because his window is definitely closing. And then that makes a big Week 8 game for Cleveland against Cincinnati, right? I mean, if Cleveland falls to 2-6, could they be sellers as well? What do you think?
Well, they could be, but, you know, they play Monday night, so they got limited time to get those deals done if they decide that now's the time to try to flip some of these assets. And it is complicated. What can we get for these players? How coy should we be? We saw the report from yesterday that the Panthers said no to a pair of first-round picks for Brian Burns, and they regard Burns and
I don't know. I saw what you said about that too, Mike. I agreed with you. I thought that sounded like, hey, we're not tanking here. We said no to all these guys, and they offered us more for this guy than the one that we just traded away.
And we're not giving guys away. I mean, every player's got a price. This is something that we've got on our list to discuss this week. I've done this before on PFT Live, where we identify the players that are truly untradeable right now. And I'm having a hard time adding to the list beyond Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, players for whom you would just you would say no to whatever the offer is.
Yeah.
Beyond Mahomes and Allen, I don't know that there's many. Aaron Donald right now is getting toward the twilight of his career. He used to be on that list. There was a time when Russell Wilson was on that list. Now he's untradeable for different reasons altogether. So I'm talking about good untradeable, not no, we don't want that contract untradeable. Allen's and Mahomes. Beyond that, I think anyone's fair game, and any of those guys on the Panthers are fair game. I just think David Tepper doesn't want to give guys away for nothing.
Say the name you just said, TJ. This is not a bad one right there. Go ahead.
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons, not a bad one. I don't think Dallas is any figure on that one at all for Dallas.
I agree, but, you know, and this is where the exercise can become a little rigged. Would they trade him for Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? Yes, they would.
TJ?
Those guys aren't tradable.
Mic's off.
Your mic's not working, huh? Fantastic. Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. I also, you know, you mentioned the Broncos. If they lose in Jacksonville, I saw a post of yours prior to you coming on here. Is the seat that hot for Nathaniel Hackett already? I know it's been a brutal start for Denver going into London, and coaches, there have been many that, you know, needed to get their own flight home from there. What do you think on that?
Well, what I know is they have a group of owners who did not hire Nathaniel Hackett, and the Walmart crowd, they are smart, they are rich, and they are ruthless. And I mean that in the most positive way the word ruthless can ever be used. They are not going to make anything other than a calculated strategic business decision about what to do with Nathaniel Hackett. And, you know, one of the things that I've heard from people I respect in the league, the idea of compounding mistakes by not admitting them and acting on them. Hey, we made a mistake here. What do we do? Well, let's double down on it so we don't look bad, so we don't have to admit that we made a mistake. The smartest and the most properly functioning football teams will, the moment they acknowledge making a mistake, set about the process of rectifying it. And I think if they would lose to the Jaguars on Sunday, they really have to ask themselves, is Nathaniel Hackett a guy that can develop into a great head coach, or have we seen enough to know that he's the latest in, and I've got a chapter in Playmakers that gets into this. It's basically the Peter Principle, and that started as satire in the late 60s. The concept is we all rise to the level of our own incompetence, and you keep getting promoted and promoted until you get into a job you don't get promoted out of because you're not any good at it. And we've seen Brad Childress. We've seen North Turner. We've seen Wade Phillips. I mean, Turner and Phillips over and over again do so well as coordinators, they become coaches, and then they lose that job. if you've just gotten to the conclusion that, that Hackett can't do it, then why wait? Why not give E.J. Evereaux a chance to see if he can stabilize the team, make it all about defense, simplify and streamline the offense, and see if you can kind of create a Seattle vibe from 10 years ago all over again in Denver, because that's probably what it's going to take to get any real value out of Russell Wilson. So I think they have to be thinking about it, and I think we have to understand that these folks are not going to take any options off the table, and they've got no loyalty to anyone who was working in that building the moment that they got the keys to the car. And we've already seen enough. I mean, he seems overmatched, and the customers, the paying customers, would love it if new ownership would make that move. So I'm paying very careful attention to that game next Sunday morning.
And then, of course, you know, last one for you. Sean Payton looms over everything when it comes to anybody who's looking for a coach. You know, our friend and colleague Jay Glazer, who is really the Sean Payton whisperer, went on Fox Sports Radio this week and essentially said the words to Carolina, hey, Carolina fans, he's not going to be your next head coach. So he would obviously know that. What is Sean Payton's gambit? What do you think his game is here? Like, what do you think he's looking at in your
estimation? I think it would be attractive to the Panthers if they had the first overall pick and they didn't have to give up a lot to the Saints to get him. I just can't imagine the Saints letting him go.
Right.
I think Sean Payton's going to want to go, and we've seen enough leaks about this. You want to go to a place where you have a great quarterback or an immediate path to a great quarterback where you have real control, and he's going to want $20-25 million a year.
Wow.
The Chargers make it, and he deserves every penny of it. The Chargers make a ton of sense. Would Dean Spanos pay him what he wants? And here's the real question. Would Sean Payton take less than what he could get to go somewhere else in order to work with Justin Herbert? Because really, behind Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, number three right now, I mean, I'd say Justin Herbert, but like his current play, like, is it him or is it horrendous play calling and play design? I don't know. We've seen raw skill from Justin Herbert that I think would fascinate Sean Payton. So Chargers, people say the Broncos, but Russell Wilson is diminished physically. He doesn't run like he used to. I don't think he can do the things he used to do. I don't think that's attractive to Sean Payton. I'm fascinated by the possibility of Sean Payton with Kyler Murray, although, you know, the questions about the study rule and, you know, is Murray really going to be all in? And maybe Payton could convince him. Maybe he's the one who gets through to him as he ages and matures, that he's got to give his life over to this if he wants to be as good as he can be. But I think quarterback is going to be the key. Either a franchise quarterback or a clear path to one, that's what's going to attract Sean Payton.
Mike Florio, greatly appreciate the time. Look for more of my calls, man. Miss chatting with you. Appreciate
all
you doing
thanks,
it.
Pal.
Right back
you.
At you. At Pro Football Talk right here. I just don't know if Arizona, which just sign Cliff Kingsbury, would pay dead money and pay the what Peyton's looking for and also send draft choices to go get him. Chargers would make sense if they look at Brandon Staley and say this isn't working out. And they lost again yesterday in a game at home.
Also just weird play calling, like Seattle's near the bottom and run defense and they only ran it 12 times.
It is weird sometimes with watching that team.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It just looks off kilter, and then the mistakes happen. Mike Williams got hurt yesterday again.
Gerald Everett, too. Yeah.
Man. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Folks have been on hold. Guess what? We're going to take your calls. Overreaction Monday also. And the news that just came out of Jets camp. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss, steer your own success, blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they're going to take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to make sure that you can drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. All rise. First in, first up is Terzo in Iowa. How you doing, Terzo?
All rise.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Rich. I got a couple things for you here. I'm going to hit on the NFL for a second, that game with the Niners and Chiefs. I think Chris Long actually put it well. As it just feels like every time Jimmy Garoppolo throws an interception, it's something that we just can't come back from. Whereas, like, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, like, if they throw an interception or do something, you always feel like you have a chance. But with Garoppolo, sometimes it just feels like the hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Well, it's just, again, you see on occasion, and I think you're going to see over the next several weeks why Jimmy Garoppolo works in this system. I think the 49ers are just like last year, showing you the inconsistencies that makes you think they're not going to do it this year, or Brockman loves pounding the table for Shanahan's job, right?
But last year,
you remember they took on the Rams in the middle of the season, and then they started going on a run that ended when the Rams finally beat them. And next week they've got the Rams coming off a bye. It's in Los Angeles. I have a feeling they're going to start feeling their oats again, and McCaffrey's going to start getting his reps, and I think everything's going to be all right for San Francisco. But there are times when you see Garoppolo do things and that makes you just get really frustrated, and that's exactly why the Niners wanted to move on from him and say, we've seen enough. Let's go get this young kid and let's go. And unfortunately, you're not going to see Lance till next year. So that's the lot you got for the 49ers, which, by the way, is better than most lots in the NFL. So
we have one of the most talented rosters on, you know, on paper. And yep. And I'm still excited, but we do have to run the table for me to win my 13-4.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to make it there.
I don't think you've got 10 straight wins left in you. I agree with you.
Also, I do feel bad for Breece Hall, man. Like, I'm a huge fan of him.
Thank you.
I watched him all at Iowa State, man. Like, my heart goes out to that kid. He's a heck of a player.
Terzo, thanks for the call. That's Terzo and Iowa right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last week, when the Jets punked the Packers in Green Bay, on the field and then after the game with the cheese head on their head and all that business with Sauce Gardner doing that. I came on the air here and I told Jets fans, just sit back and enjoy the ride. Just sit back, enjoy the ride, because the last 50 years are over. The last 50 years are over. These kids don't know about what we Jet fans carry around every day, which is the emotional scars of being let down, and the absolute physical scars of getting kicked in the balls by the football gods all the time. And I said what I just said. And part of me, when I came on the air and I'm like, hey, Jet fans, follow my lead here. Just sit back and enjoy the flight. Put your tray tables up and enjoy the flight.
Take flight.
I thought to myself, a little bit
What are you saying this for? Because you know what's coming. You know what's coming. So, be that as it may, yesterday in Denver, Breece Hall, the young rookie running back who has been dynamite, generationally dynamite, fourth most yards from scrimmage by a Jet in the first six-plus games of a season, coming in. Runs one in from 60-plus yards out against Denver. This is when the quarterback, Zach Wilson, is having trouble, which he is. And he's against a terrific defense in Denver, which they have. And they also don't have a receiver in Elijah Moore because they left him home because he doesn't like what's coming his way. He's not targeted enough, not doing enough. And Robert Saleh's trying to create his own culture there. And here comes Breece Hall, touchdown. And I tweeted out, even though I thought to myself, don't hit send, Rich. Don't do it.
Oh, no.
I must say that Breece Hall is one of my favorite New York Jets in a very, very long time. I capitalized the second very. And he is. Go about my business. Take my son Zan to the mall. Susie's got Coop. Taylor's occupied. I ran out for 30 minutes. Get a text from Chris Brockman.
Oh, yeah.
Breece Hall's been carted off. I wrote you back. What?
Yep.
That's all I wrote was what?
Yep.
Carted off. And the news is official today. Torn ACL. We are not allowed, apparently. Not allowed, apparently, as Jet fans, to have very nice things. Now then. They're 5-2, and they still won the game yesterday, even though, by the way, they lost their best offensive lineman, too. Elijah Vera Tucker went out with an elbow, and I'm waiting to hear if it's dislocated or he needs to have it friggin' surgically repaired. Corey Davis went out, too. They still won the game. They're 5-2. But, of course, just getting set to take on the Bills, Belichick, and Buffalo. Breece Hall's done for the year. They're difference maker at the running back. They had a difference maker at that spot. And he's taken away. So now I got to go back and I got to meditate. I got to meditate. Because it happened again. The Jets are 5-2. They're 5-2. They have the same number of wins as the Bills. Okay? It's unbelievable what they're doing. Defensively, they look terrific. But who's the next one to go down? Huh? Do I need to make a sacrifice? Should I do it here on the program? I don't know. What should I do?
Should I
take like a piece of my Wesley Walker jersey that I had in Camp Lokonda, take a swatch of that, put it in something? What else do I got to do?
Like name his fur coat?
No, I mean, that's too valuable. I mean, just what do I got to do here? What do I have to do?
A lock of Gastineau's hair.
What do I have to do?
Good one.
Let's see.
And I know other teams are having guys carted off. DK Metcalf got carted off yesterday, and unfortunately for him, it wasn't because he had to go to the bathroom.
Ooh. No surgery for DK.
He's going to apparently avoid surgery. Hey, there you go.
Well, how could he have surgery? You mean to tell me there's a knife that could cut that skin? I don't think so.
I don't know, man. Not allowed to have nice things. So Breece Hall's done for the year.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does because he was a star in the making, and the Jets had a star in the making. At the running back spot. And he was doing things that we haven't seen at that spot since Curtis Martin was doing it. And maybe LaDainian Tomlinson a little bit after that for a brief bit that we had him in the autumn of his football years.
You have any faith in Michael Carter?
I do.
He is a baller, but he is
not looking like Breece Hall.
No.
Home run hitter all over the place.
Yeah.
And a matchup problem. Shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have said what I said last week. I blame myself. Happened again. I mean, anytime you just think that something's different. All right. Take one more phone call and we'll get to Overreaction Monday. Maybe I've overreacted a little bit. I don't know. Ron in Denver, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ron?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, brother?
I wanted to apologize to you because I've been riding you all off season about telling Broncos country to wait and see. And I think we found out that you obviously were correct. We all jumped the gun, thinking we were going to be awesome right away, and we have not been awesome. The ride has stopped currently. So, yeah, I'm a season ticket holder. It's been rough. Congrats to your Jets. I'm sorry about Breece Hall. That's a bummer. I was at the game. I saw it. Didn't look great. I was hoping he was okay. But yeah, man, you were right. So I know you like hearing that you were right. You were right.
I appreciate it. But I, you know, at the same time, that was hand in hand with my other take about the AFC West, is that the Raiders were going to win the division, and that ain't happening right now. I mean, the Chiefs would have to go on a losing streak that oh, I don't think we've seen them go on for years. So that ain't happening. But I appreciate you calling to say I'm right. Thank you for the call, Ron. I appreciate anybody, 844-204-RICH, number to dial for anybody who wants to call in to say I was right.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, it doesn't.
You don't want to be right about this one.
All right, I'm just going to say it. The hell, you love it when I say it.
I mean, with your chest, Rich, with your chest.
Also, you know what? Can every other network spare me the commentary about the Jets situation from everybody who couldn't get it done when they were there? Please. I don't want to hear it from anybody.
Oh, you mean
who
former
used
coaches?
To, and coach. All right, I'm going to stop it because I do like some of these people. I'm in an ornery mood, and they're 5-2.
Well, tag Brockman in. He'll finish it for you.
They're 5-2.
No, just wait a second.
All right. It's a Monday. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Mondays.
Monday.
What do you have over there, Christopher?
Hey, guys. How's everybody feeling today?
Great.
Love you guys. Let's get after it. All right. No other way to say this one, but Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are just no longer elite quarterbacks.
I will push back on that and say that's an overreaction, that they're not elite quarterbacks. They are still the kings of knowing what the hell's coming in their direction pre-snap in a way that few other quarterbacks know how to do.
Yeah, but they physically can't do it anymore.
I don't agree with it.
Run down the list.
You've seen the
throws. Who would you take these guys over right now?
I know we could do that whole who would you take over them type stuff right now. But you've seen Brady make the throws, and you know Rodgers could still make the throws, and you know pre-snap, neck up, that they're still, you know, otherworldly when it comes to that. There are just many other things that are happening right now in their worlds, and they are part of what's happening in their worlds, and they are definitely not making throws that they're used to making, and they definitely don't have the same protection for Brady and weapons for Rodgers. So I will push back and call that an overreaction. Sir, what else?
All right. I am with you on this one, Rich. You kind of mentioned it earlier. You teased it. I didn't want you to give my takeaway. But
okay.
Joe Burrow needs to be in the MVP discussion.
I mean, when you say discussion, it's like what? Like,
he's in the mix.
He's in the mix and has to beat Josh Allen in order to surpass, right?
Yeah, I think Allen's clear number one. And then I think the rest, 2, 3, and 4, those finalists, quote unquote, I think are in the air. And I think Joey Burrow, the way he's played the last couple weeks, holy crap, he's balling out.
He is. And has been the difference maker for the team, certainly in New Orleans. You knew he wasn't losing that game in the Superdome. And
well, when you show up wearing Chase's gamer.
I know. And then against Atlanta, when Atlanta had A.J. Terrell down and you knew, you know, they were susceptible on the back end. I mean, Burrow's ran one in 2 straight weeks as well, 400 yards plus yesterday. Yeah, of course, yeah. You could put him in the MVP race. But again, this is Josh Allen's world. We're all rent payers in it. And that will make Cincinnati's game and visit to Buffalo on the final Monday night of the season, week 17, potentially worth all of that. But they got to stay within a bit more hailing distance and hope the Bills get tripped up along the way, maybe in division once. I don't know who else is going to go get him. I mean, they visit Detroit. They visit Chicago. They have the Jets twice, minus Breece friggin' Hall. They play. They host Cleveland in Brissett's final start for the Browns. You know, and again, that's where Burrow will have to have a better record and beat the Bills and be the one seed for him to snake that MVP from him in the back 2 games of the season. Throw that out there for you.
Discussion.
But in the discussion, abso-freaking-lutely, along with, if I may throw, obviously Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And also Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And you got to throw Saquon in that mix. You must throw Saquon Barkley in that mix 1,000%. What else, Chris?
I disagree. That's okay. TJ, this is for you, and I understand this is hot. You mentioned the Giants, Rich. They won again. Eagles, obviously undefeated. But with Dak back, I love the Cowboys. Going to win the NFC East.
False. That's an overreaction. The Eagles are the best team in that division. They already have a game on Dallas. False. False. That is an overreaction.
Well, Dallas has a game on the Giants.
I'll take it right now. Who wants to take it? You want to take it? TJ, you're the big Cowboy honk here. You want to take it?
I mean, what's the bet?
Just just like everything else around here.
A dollar Randolph and Mortimer.
Sure. Randolph
and Mortimer.
You got it. 1,000%. Yes. Thank you.
Looked a little more crisp. Defense.
Okay. Got it.
Eagles can't stay hot forever.
Understood.
And I trust you to actually pay up.
Got it.
Wow.
What else, Chris?
How about the Cowboys?
Yeah, Kenny Pickett already has a professional football win. You know, Trubisky kind of closed it like Rivera, but I got it. He still hasn't paid you. What else, Chris? From draft day.
All hail the 12s, okay? I said they were going to be in the running for the top overall pick next year. I completely wrong. I missed it. I get it. All hail my Lord and Savior, Kenneth Walker III. He is going to be a bigger factor in this NFC West than CMC down the stretch.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. And I know that what he did yesterday was terrific and an eye-opener for a lot of people, but everybody who goes to school in the Big Ten and certainly Ann Arbor, Michigan knows. It was funny yesterday because I was, you know, in danger. I have Burrow in fantasy in my poker league, and I almost, you know, I had a sweat last night. I had a sweat Raheem Mostert last night because the guy I'm going against, the kids I'm going against, have Kenneth Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at Coop, and I say to Coop, I'm like, I'm in danger because Walker had the game of his life today. And I've said, well, actually, the game of his life happened against Michigan last year. That is not an outside, a liar. True. That kid's really good.
He's really good.
And I agree with you. He will have a say in whether the Seahawks win or lose in the same way McCaffrey might not even have as much of an effect on his team. Yeah, I like that one, Chris. I'll agree with that one. Say that's not an overreaction. Nice.
I don't know if you're going to like this one, though.
Okay.
Hey, look, the Jets are hot, but Zach Wilson is holding them back offensively.
Well, holding them back meaning what? Like, they're
means they could be better if they could be better with Flacco.
Oh.
He can't throw the Zach Wilson can't throw the ball.
Can they be better now with Flacco? Maybe. They have to. This is what you do when you draft somebody, is you go through the growing pains.
I understand.
Niners tried to avoid last year with Trey Lance and hoped to avoid this year, and already went through in that first week game in Chicago, you know, in the rain. Yeah, you're going to go through all these things, but they're good enough defensively and had enough of an offense from Breece Hall to win three in a row despite him not throwing a touchdown pass. It does concern me. It does concern me now that Hall is done for the season that Zach Wilson is going to have to do more than he's capable of right now. And that's kind of dangerous because he's doing crazy stuff like throwing back across the middle instead of just throwing it away.
Like
I know he does a lot of crazy ass stuff. So I will say he's not holding them back because they're winning games. But we'll find out because he's going to have to do it without Hall against the two Bills, Belichick and Buffalo next at home. They should at least try to split those. What else, Chris?
Carson Wentz has played his last down as the Commanders quarterback.
I kind of agree with you. Well, I mean, yeah. There, he doesn't have any, if you will, skin in the game there in D.C. And the coach already stared down a reporter when asked the difference between their team and the rest of the division that was doing so well. And he said quarterback. And then he tried to backtrack and then a mea culpa'd. And then barked at the media after they won a game on a dreadful Thursday night to try and, you know, cover whatever tracks he was covering. But I think he told you the way he feels about Wentz. And Heinicke, you know, just won that game. And next up, by the way, at Indianapolis. How wild is that going to be? Can't wait to see Dan Snyder sitting in the porta potties outside.
Yeah.
And then you got the home game for Minnesota. And then their next game is at Philadelphia on a Monday night. So, Heinicke might, if he went, yeah, man, by the time they come back, if they go 3-1, 2-2, are they going to turn back to Wentz just because? barring injury, I'd say that's in the realm. I don't think we're overreacting there.
All right, last one.
Yep.
They did get a win yesterday, but it wasn't pretty. Lamar Jackson's contract gamble on himself currently coming up craps.
I disagree. Coming up craps.
He's not been good the last few weeks.
Okay. I got it. I see you. I hear you. But when he hits the open market next year, that won't happen because the Ravens will make sure he's fine and paid. And well, he's, if he starts being
they've
paid.
They've tried and he doesn't want it.
Hey, would you like to be paid like Kirk Cousins or would you not? Yes. The answer is yes. If he's going to take the Kirk Cousins route and suddenly start making more money than Otani and Judge combined. Yeah, man. He's fine. I'll say that's an overreaction. It's not coming up craps for him. Coming up craps would mean that he either can't make it or he gets so damn hurt he doesn't have the security. And right now he's healthy. I would proffer to say that Brady's going to be a home dog for the first time in forever this weekend.
Good question.
So I would say that's fine. He's going to be fine. He will be paid and he will be generationally enriched for the rest of his life. I think he's gambled just fine. The Ravens aren't doing as well as you thought, but
still in first.
They are because they beat the Bengals a couple weeks ago. And that's Overreaction Monday. Well
there
done.
You go.
And scene. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports sponsored by AutoZone. I have a feeling we might be piloting a segment next segment. I don't know. If you agree, we'll see how it goes. The segment's called I Don't Get It. A lot going on in the NFL I just don't get. I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's coming up next. 844-204-RICH is also the number for you to dial.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio show, we're all one big happy family with our viewers on Roku and the listeners on Odyssey and Sirius XM. Hey, look, your guy, Kenny Pickett, he had a higher register performance last night.
KP8.
Against Miami. Hey, that guy could make some moves. He can make some throws. George Pickens is catching balls from him, huh?
But another like crazy ass sidewinding catch from him.
Hey, how about the Steelers? You know, I mean, all they had to do was just catch all those balls that Tua put up in the air for them to intercept, and the Dolphins made their interceptions, and the Steelers didn't, and that's what Tomlin said was a difference in the game. You know, catch here, catch there, pick there, and pick it is a winner. It was a higher register game last night.
That was ripe for the taking, though. The Steelers.
Well, part of the reason why I was ripe for the taking is I don't get it.
What don't you get?
And I love Mike McDaniel, but it is wild to me that with 8:43 to go in the third quarter, it's 4th and 3 at the Pittsburgh 14, and they're up 16-10, and you're seeing this is before Pickett was winging it around and feeling comfortable completely. Kick the field goal. Go up by 9.
Yeah.
So the other team's got to score twice. And if your defense is playing well enough and you've got Raheem Mostert going well enough, maybe you could make sure that they only get, 3-4 possessions the rest of the night. They need 2 to win. Kick it. No, they ran it with Chase Edmonds. And then those 3 points, man, they could have used them the rest of the night. Here was Mike McDaniel after the game. At least ask him, what were you thinking?
I have a couple guys within analytics that are in my ear, you know, in all those types of situations. In this situation, they did not advise me to kick it. I mean, to go for it. You know, there's plenty of decisions that are made that, you know, it's a balancing act. You take the statistical, percentage chance, which is what they're evaluating, and you know, it's one of those things. I think it was a fourth, and I think the scoreboard might have said three. I think it was like a long 2.5, but it's one of those that if it's fourth and two, they're a lot more supportive. Fourth and three, they get, you know, the percentages go way down. But that was something that I do pretty much every game, where you're balancing that with the momentum of the game and where we're at. And I felt really confident that that we'd be able to convert. Obviously, we didn't. That's why it's an entire team function and job to win a football game. And they came, the defense came through, and we didn't turn the ball over. So we ended up on the winning side.
Good for him to say he went for his gut. Well, gut, not analytics. That's like a rarity, that. But I still don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get the gut. Just go up. It just seems like nobody wants to go for three anymore. It's just, it does look like coaches in the NFL are playing like it's a video game. Nobody wants to punt. Nobody wants to just kick three and just be boring and just keep adding to your lead. Just keep adding. If you, and the whole idea is like, you know, we have the defense. I went for it because I knew the defense would actually, you know, I trusted the defense. If you trust the defense, then give them more points to protect.
Right.
Am I wrong? Otherwise, I don't get it. Another one. If Doug Peterson was in Philadelphia and not Northern Florida, with all due respect to our friends in Duval County, I mean, this is the sort of stuff that would light up phone lines for days. Taking on the Giants, a 12-play, 60-yard drive that winds up on a 4th-and-1 with a minute and 30 to go in the fourth quarter. And they snuck it up 17-13. Take the three. And if the Giants score a touchdown, then you're telling Daboll, all right, you go for two again. Yep. Just like you did in week one. Let's see if you'll do it again on the road, Brian. Put the pressure on him. And they didn't get it. Giants next drive, right down the field. And guess what? We're still talking about what a wild finish that ended on the 1.5-yard line, right? It was just like, you know, Rams and Titans in the Super Bowl, except it was a week 7 regular season game between the Giants and the Jaguars. Oh, man, just wound up right there, and the Giants escaped with the skin of their teeth. Well, Jacksonville could have just kicked a field goal to send it in overtime. Those are 3 points, man, that you would think. 3 points that you would think would be helpful, but no. It's just like nobody wants to take field goals anymore. I guess they're too boring. Are they too boring? Is that what it is?
Yeah, 3 points is 3 points.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if we've just made a new segment called I Don't Get It.
I like it.
Because it's just like all I got to do is just watch a Chargers game, and I'll come up with three of them. I don't get it. What are you doing with Justin Herbert? What are you doing? What are you doing not punting? Yeah. What are you doing kicking it here? I don't get it. Matt Judon of New England, and apparently breaking news out of Indianapolis when we come back.
Rich, can we extend the I don't get it to the NBA?
How about this one? Russell Westbrook last night, 1 point on top of the Blazers.
Mm-hmm. Blazers.
Okay, he's dribbling up. His teammates are all coming, you know, just jogging up the floor because there's 20 seconds left on the shot clock. They're up by one, 30 seconds left in the game. And he hoists one. Nobody's underneath the basket. Of course, he missed it. I mean, if you take the shot clock down, and then you're one offensive rebound away from just wrapping it up. Yeah. I don't get it. They're 0-3.
Here's what I don't get.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, we've got Victor Wembanyama. Victor. Booming very largely. Oh, 7'5", 4 inches.
Yeah.
You know? looming right there, and Danny Ainge and the Utah Jazz have decided they were going to clean house. You know how, like, you donate all your old clothes and clean out the cupboard, you know, take out the trash and do all that stuff to make room
for this prized treasure,
and yet the guys on the team apparently aren't getting the memo. They don't know that they're not supposed to be winning these games, and now the Jazz are 3-0, and I gotta be honest, I just don't get it. I don't know. What do you do?
Somebody didn't get, I guess Kelly Olynyk didn't get the memo, and he threw one up in the middle of the paint and somehow made it through the bucket in overtime. And Zion and Brandon Ingram are out.
What are they doing?
I don't get it.
Lauri Markkanen, did you not get the memo, bro?
Hey, gents, let's talk Halloween for a second.
What is your favorite Halloween memory?
One time I saw Nightmare Before Christmas performed live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Walking with your kids.
It felt so magical.
And after they've got their candy and they walk away.
So pure.
The dad inside the house is handing you a beer.
My dad, when I get home, he would have me like empty out all the candy to make sure that it's safe. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I realized, what the f***? He was just eating my candy. Rude.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
One year I was Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
One year I was like, I would like to be roadkill.
The Halloween costume was a plastic smock and then a really scratchy plastic mask. I mean, you were styling if you had one of those.
Aquaman, the plastic mask cutting into your eyes, and then you get that little hole in the mouth to breathe through all night long.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
What's your fave candy, Mandy? Oh, that rhymes.
Anything Reese's, Snickers bars.
It's all the food groups.
It's
got
a meal.
Nuts, you've got caramel. Yes.
Candy corn. I love
it. Me too.
Wait, really?
I'm one of the small percent of people who actually really enjoys candy corn. It gets a bad rap.
Thank you so much, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween from the Cumulus Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe and follow us at youtube.com/Cumulus Podcast.
Candy corn is terrible. It's atrocious. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not a candy.
Ooh. Happy Halloween.